today we're going to talk about external and internal values, and the difference between them. Obviously, the juxtaposition of Yaakov and Esav, the two children, and we're going to see a theme as was beautifully developed by Rav Fuhrer. I saw this series of books. I think I've talked about it before. This man named Rav Ben-Zion Fuhrer, who was a big rabbi in Europe before the Holocaust. He made Aliyah, came to Israel. They wanted him to be a bigger rabbi, but he preferred to write his books. And he spent a lot of time writing essays on the Parsha. He was very well known before he passed away, I think in the 70s maybe,
are
the
80s. Translated?
They're not translated. And the books are very hard to get.
Not
nothing better for me to do, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're very beautiful, very beautiful. Like, you know, so sometimes you'll see he develops a very powerful Zionistic themes that he develops, and sometimes just beautiful ideas. So we're going to see a theme that he develops through the Parsha about this idea of internal versus external, and we'll see it as it runs through the Chumash and the Rashi in the Torah. So obviously the Chumash begins, the story begins with the birth of Yaakov and Esav. Okay, so let's start at the beginning of the Parsha, and then we're going to do a bunch of skipping around, if you don't mind. So we're in the beginning of Toldot, Perek Kafhei, Pasuk Yutet. The Eile Toldot Yitzchak and Avraham. Avraham Holidet Yitzchak. This is the Toldot. The word Toldot is hard to translate, but in this context it means these are the descendants of, the children of Yitzchak and Avraham. Avraham Holidet Yitzchak. And we're obviously not going to stand on every detail because we could spend the whole Shiur on these psukim. Vayhi Yitzchak ben Arba'im Shana. Kachdort Rivka back to El Harami. If you want a chumash, there's a bunch over there. If you're interested, if you want to listen, it's fine too. Okay, but Kachdort Rivka back to El Harami mi Padan Aram. Achod Levan Arami lo leisha. Yitzchak was 40 years old when he took Rivka, the daughter of Betuel the Arami from Padan Aram, the sister of Levan the Arami, as a wife. I'll just point out because I do that. What do you notice about this pasuk that seems to be bolet, that really draws your attention, that seems to be unusual and interesting?
Twice
describes Arami. Yeah. Okay, it's like, you know, Yitzchak married, you know, the daughter of Betuel the Arami, the sister of Lavan the Arami, which tells you, actually this is relevant to our theme. Here's Yitzchak, who is the son of Avraham Avinu. You know, Yitzchak is, the way Chazal describe him, as the Ola Timima, the pure Ola. You know what I'm saying? And he's marrying the sister of Betuel the Arami, and especially, daughter of the Arami, especially the sister of Lavan, Arami, and Chazal say Arami is the sister of Lavan. No, the sister of Lavan, right?
Achot Lavan,
right? Remember, he's Yaakov's uncle, Yitzchak's brother-in-law, right? And what is Arami in Arami?
Okay.
Armumi, right? But you can take the word Arami. Arami. Okay, you take the letters, and you just, okay.
Ramai.
Ramai is a?
Cheat.
Right, Arami, Ramai. Okay, that's what Chazal say. He's an Arami, he's a liar, he's a cheater, he's a thief, he's a dishonest. He's all those fun things. That's exactly the point. And this is in a time, today, we live less on those principles. Much, much less. Trust me, if you're frowning, even though people are worried about Yuchas and Teduchim, it is nothing compared to Yuchas the way people talked about it historically. Historically, Yuchas was everything. They could care less about who you are. They really care much more about where you come from and the Yuchas of your family. So today it's a factor. People are interested in Yuchas, but then it was everything. And here Yitzchak married the sister of Lavan Ha'arami Ha'ramai. Vayetar Yitzchak la'Hashem lenochach ikto ki akarahi. She was not able, she was barren, she was unable to have children. Okay? And they were, God responded. I don't know how to translate that, but God reacted. He listened.
Let himself be entreated.
Thank you, okay? And she became pregnant. The children, yitrotzatzu, that's also a word that's unusual and difficult to translate from the word ritza, but it also means that they struggled, right? By yitrotzitzu, they
battled
with each other. Very good. Okay, and we learn she went to seek out God. You are going to be the mother of two different nations, and so it's interesting this idea of these archetypes, juxtaposition of right? Rivka versus Yitzchak. And now we see not only that, but the children of are going to be, right? Two separate. Oh, there's a big one, there's a small one. There's a strong one, Rav Ya'avod Tsair. There's an old one and a young one. Okay? Okay, there's a big one and a small one. There's a powerful one and a weak one. There's always this juxtaposition, these two archetypes, and we're going to talk about two different archetypes today. Vayimlu Yamer Laledet, Vihine Tomi Bivina, they're twins, as she knew. Vayetse Harishon Admoni, Kulo Ke'aderet Se'ar, Vayikru Shemo Esav. So the first one came out Admoni. What is Admoni?
Red.
Ruddy. Ready and ruddy, okay? Kulo Ke'aderet Se'ar. The whole thing is a ball of fur. That's what it sounds like, doesn't
an
it?
Animal.
Like Kulo, the whole thing, like Aderet, was it Aderet? So Rashi says, very good, Aderet Seyar. Very good, said Rashi. Malay Seyar, so full of hair, Kitalit Sel Semer Hamalea Seyar. It's like a wool cloth, like a wool blanket, so hairy. I mean, it was like, if you think about like how hairy your head is, the whole kid is just hair. It's like hairy.
Issue.
What?
Must have had a sugar issue.
I don't know. It's not only but it's not hair. It's not hairy. It's red hair. Okay? Vayikru shemo Edom. What are the who called him Edom?
People.
Everyone called him Edom. Red. They called him red. Why did they call him red?
He's red.
He's red. I mean, there's nothing else to call him. Red. Okay, Karashimo Edom.
That's not quite a popular name in America.
Red.
Reed.
No, red is like rednecks.
Hick, you know what I mean? The name would be Reed.
Would it be? Red?
Yeah, Reed is a common
red skeleton?
Red does indicate redneck.
But that is a redneck, yeah.
It does. You wouldn't really... You would. You don't have many Jews naming their children red. It's not a Jewish name. Okay, Alkein Karashimo, and probably because of this, Alkein Karashimo, Edom. Okay? Okay, but what do we know immediately about the nature of this child? What describes him? What defines him?
He's fiery.
We don't know anything. See, you don't say, that's right. We don't, you know what's so interesting? We don't know, like, in Israel, they do that all the time. People look at, like, I have a picture of my children, and they say, ah, Israelis are really into this. Yesh lechem jinji? Uh-oh. You get up a blonde?
Yeah.
Blonde, are they supposed to be fiery and act up and be stubborn and petulant?
No.
Are they in blonde? Blonde is like, oh, blonde.
Right,
sucks.
No way, see.
People, oh, but Israelis firmly believe that redheads are just...
You're in for it.
You're in for it.
Isn't it from Kazakh?
Maybe from Edom.
Yeah, I'm saying it says about the nature and blood, and you have to, like, David HaMelech had to be...
There is such a thing, right, that there is such a thing of bloodness, of, like, there is such a thing of...
Redheads,
they really are. Like...
I heard of Kazakh that they are
they
not
studied them?
Accepting sperm donations from redheads.
You're kidding me.
No, it's true, because it's not a demand. They're the number one rejected firm.
There's no demand for it.
What will the world do without
right,
any fiery...
No way.
Okay, but we already said...
Discrimination.
It is terrible. But we already see that Esav is described by his externals. Right? He is described by the way that he looks. And we're going to see that externalism isn't just an external, isn't just the way you look, but it's also the way you relate to things. And this is going to be Rav Fuhrer's beautiful theme. That you can relate to even mitzvot in an external way. You can relate to doing what you're supposed to do in an external way, or you can relate to doing what you're supposed to do in an internal way as well. And I think that's the struggle between, as we're going to see, this Esav and Yaakov, is something that we all struggle to do. Take any mitzvah, right? Right? Everyone knows that, like, I'll just take one that's very like popular nowadays, that I'm big into, this the concept of tzniut. Okay, so there's this concept of tzniut, and the concept of tzniut basically says that women shouldn't be out in public now. You know what I'm saying? That's very popular in Israel now.
Women
that shouldn't be on public. You should not be on public. You shouldn't be seen. You should stay at home.
Well, if you are, you should wear a shawl.
Right. What? It's growing in popularity. You'll notice, by the way, there's this thing, like a lot of articles now, about how, you saw my thing? It's about how, these articles in like, in Britain and whatever, they love these articles about how, like there's no pictures of women on ads in Yerushalayim, or they're defaced. And so there's this whole campaign now of like these secular people to have pictures of famous women in Israel, on a Senate, it's called a Meir. You know what I'm saying? Like these, that their pictures should appear, that women shouldn't be hidden. So this is an issue for me. Because as mother of daughters, what?
You read the article by Rav Amsalem?
Yes, I did. There was an even more powerful article in Makor Rishon this week by one of the Rashi Yeshivot of Midrashat Lindenbaum. Because in Midrashat Lindenbaum, they had an ad in one of the Aloni Shabbat to try to get women to come, try to get girls to come study in the Midrasha. And so somebody wrote a letter to him saying, you know, it really isn't appropriate that women should appear, pictures of women should appear in Aloni Shabbat, in Alon Shabbat, in a Beit Knesset. And he wrote a very, very fiery response. And he said that, this is my own editorial, but obviously you see it's something that I'm passionate about. He said that to take that women shouldn't be seen at all, because if you see them, and they're dressed appropriately, of course, that can cause you to have improper thoughts. He said that's the worst form of objectification of women. He actually called that a form of pornography. Yes, of course, women, they're supposed to arouse certain desires in men, but you're supposed to control them. You know what I'm saying? And Chazal had lines by which you said, you know, this is appropriate and this is inappropriate, and that you follow the rules of Chazal. But to take it to such a degree and say that you have to be hidden altogether and totally covered and out of society, he said that's objectification. So now I ask you, what is tsniut? Is tsniut lines? Is tsniut, you know, saying some rule in a book, some picture in a handbook? Or is it an inner sense? Is it a sense of sniut that applies to men, to women externally, but also to men? And we all know of situations where people follow the letter of the law of sniut, but it's totally not tsniut. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure. Right. It's not only the dressing, it's the way they behave.
So that's exactly the issue, the value, external shemirat mitzvah or internal shemirat mitzvah, you know? You can do it with tzedakah. You can do it with tefillah. I daven every day. Great. You say the words every day. And this is something that all of us struggle with. When's the last time you actually talked to God? When's the last time you actually opened your heart to God? No, but I daven every day. You might be saying the words. You might be mouthing the words. You might be doing the things. But that's the external fulfillment of the commandment. That's not the internal fulfillment of the commandment. And this is a real, true struggle. The struggle of the external, the fulfillment, the keeping, which is important and can't be denied. Karen. Okay. See, they all look at you. Okay, right?
Karen's method.
Okay.
Totally not helping.
Yes, okay.
Oh, no.
I can vouch for that. or, what's much more difficult, and I would suggest less easy to quantify, and in today's day and age where we so focus on externals, more less valued, less difficult to promote, less difficult to extol, right? How do you communicate that? And what I struggle with, like all of us struggle with, is how do you educate that? How do you teach your children? I don't just want you to daven. I want you to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to do something for me. You should do it for you. Yeah, you wanted to say something? You wanted to say something? You had your hand raised. Okay.
I was just basically masking.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, no. Before that, you had wanted to add something. Yeah. All right, fine. So this is Esav, and what's Yaakov? Achrekev yatsa achiv, v'yado ochezet ba'akev Esav. His hand was holding on to the ankle of Esav. Vayikashemo Yaakov, and instead of vayikru, vayikra, Yaakov, Yaakov, Yaakov.
He will follow.
He will follow what? Didn't say that.
Well, next word, Yitzchak.
Mm-hmm. Who called him Yaakov? Rashi? Kadosh Baruch Hu? Rashi says, God called him Yaakov. Dabar Acher, Aviv Karalo Yaakov, Al-Shem Achizat Ha'ikev. Two opinions. If his father called him Yaakov, that was external. If a God called him Yaakov, who will he follow? Yaakov. God. Right? That's a very different interpretation of his name. Okay. Yitzhak was 60 years old when they were born. Next, one more pasuk. Vayigdelu ha-ne'arim, vayihi Esav ish yodea tzayid ish sadeh, v'yakov ish tam yishev olim. And now we come to the description of these two sons. Okay, Esav was an ish, a man, yodea tzayid, who knows how to tzayid,
hunt,
trap, seida, trapping, ish sadeh, man of the field. And Yaakov was an ish tam. Simple. Why do you say simple? I'll tell you, I know why you say simple.
Because of the Haggadah.
Correct. The simple son am I. You know what I'm saying?
Wholesome.
What's that?
Wholesome.
Wholesome. You never translate the Tom on Pesach as a wholesome son. But maybe we should.
Innocent.
Right? Maybe. No, but it's not innocent. What's Tom? Let's look at Rashi for a second. Very good. What does that mean, Tamim?
Pure.
What does that mean, purity?
Naive.
So you be taking that in the negative sense?
No.
You take it in the positive sense?
Yeah.
What does that mean, positive?
I think naivety is a compliment.
Okay.
It's a
and that, well, I don't know if I agree with you, naivete. Naivete is... Naivete is a desire to see the good in everything.
No.
Right? It's that might be good, but that's not Tom. That's not Tom.
No.
What?
It's Tamim.
Not necessarily. No. Why is that Tamim?
We mean like somebody doesn't have the experience to like... So I think this is what you're saying. Like they don't have like all these maybe experiences that make things are not so desirable and that, and so their opinions are untainted.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. You can have a lot of bad experiences and still be naive and try to hope for the best about people. There's a guy I know at work. He said to me this week. He said, he'd much rather be optimistic. He said, I've been burned once in life and lost a bunch of money, but other than that, it's more worth it to me to have faith in people.
It's great. Not talking about
that's not naive. Anyway, what's Tamim? What's Tam? Rashi. So let's see what Rashi says. Yodei Atzayid. And Rashi is setting up. This is really a study in Rashi. He's setting up the archetypes. The two types that we're going to look at. Very famous midrashim, important to know. Yodei Atzayid. Latsud. See Rashi on Yodei Atzayid? Latsud v'lirmot et aviv b'piv. Yodei Atzayid. So Rashi is actually playing on another word. Let's look at the next pasuk, so you'll see where Rashi's coming from. Chavchet. Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav. Excuse me. Yitzchak loved Esav. Kitzayid b'piv. This is a very difficult word to translate. Tzayid b'piv. What does it mean literally?
He fed him.
It means literally he would catch stuff.
The hunt was in his mouth.
Okay? V'rivka ohevet et Yaakov. Rivka loved Yaakov. Okay, and it's not
interesting.
Very interesting, very fascinating. Okay,
graphic.
Right? What?
Very graphic.
Why? What do you mean graphic?
Oh, a hunt in his mouth.
His hunt was in his mouth.
Right, but like you picture like a cat
putting in his mouth. Interesting. Okay, what does it mean? So now Rashi says, look at Rekha Rashi again. Latsud v'lirmot et aviv b'fiv. So you have to understand that Rashi, based on the midrash, is reading in a different way. Tzayid b'fiv means it doesn't mean his hunt was in Yitzchak's mouth. It means he trapped his father with his own mouth. Kitzayid, because he would trap him, b'fiv, with his mouth. That's how the Midrash is clearly reading the words. Okay? And v'sho alo, and he would ask him, Abba, heyach ma'asrin et hamelach ve'et hateven? Hey, Dad, how do we take off ma'aser? I learned in Yeshiva we take off ma'aser on the bananas. But I was wondering, Dad, how do we take off ma'aser on the salt? Oh, Yosef, such a tzaddik. We don't take off mice from the salt. It's not really food. Okay, Dad, thanks. So, you know what I'm saying? That's exactly the way the Midrash describes Esav. He made himself out to be something he was not in order to trick his father. Okay? Ish, what's that? Kesavur aviv shehu medakdek b'mitzvah. And his father thought that he was medakdek in mitzvah. So we see, according to Rashi, explicitly, Esav was not just externally fiery. He wasn't just external physically. He was external spiritually as well. Right? He was the way what we would call it, the Yiddish term, I think, even though I don't speak Yiddish, he was a tzaddik in pels. Right? He wanted everyone to know. He wanted, you know what I'm saying? If he was going to give the money, he's the kind of guy that negotiated with the shul, give me $1,000 if you give me a $10,000 donation.
Very public.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Now, word on his sleeve.
Right. He wore it on his sleeve. He wanted everybody to know what he was doing. But what about...
He's also the source for... this midrash for the, I wouldn't say biblical critics, but the people who paint Yitzchak as a fool and who was taken by, you know, like, that couldn't see objectively.
Yitzchak couldn't see objectively either. Yitzchak was what they called an olat tmima. Remember, he was a, so you could say that Yitzchak was naive. Okay? There are midrashim, lekan, ulekan. Some say yes, some say no. So, for example, Tzayid b'fiv. Okay? Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav. Why did Yitzchak love Esav? I wasn't going to talk about this. This is a different shiur entirely. But the Midrash says, why? Why did he love him? Meaning, what, you think Yitzchak didn't know what his son was really like? Ela shahaya ohavo bifanav bilvad. He loved him. He expressed his love for him. Kidei lekarvo ulemashcho, in order to bring him closer. Meaning he showed him love, because that's how you can't put, if you push him away, he's going to become even worse. And the Midrash says, it's a kal v'chomer, okay? Im kishu o'avo ma'asam mekal kalim, in sin over v'chako, achav kam v'kama. Showing love to Esav, so Esav at least had that kesher. Can you imagine how bad Esav would have been had Yitzhak not even shown him the love? So you're saying there are Midrashim that portray Yitzhak as naive and not realizing what Esav is like. And then there are Midrashim that portray him as knowing exactly what he's like.
That's interesting because it connects to the shir from last week, where he obviously watched his father stay connected.
Yeah.
Where he never completely let him, even though he kicked him out of the
Abraham
house.
Abraham did. Abraham did. One does not get the sense that Yitzhak stayed connected. Maybe at the funeral. One does not get the sense.
He watched what his father did.
You know who Chazal blamed for Esav's going off the derech? No. Not at all. No. Who did Chazal blame for Esav's negative traits? Yeah, of course. Right, Rivka, Yichus.
She's Arami.
You can't get away from your genes. It is what it is. Right, just that's what it
but
is.
But she didn't lack him.
What's that?
But she didn't have an affinity.
No. It does not say. It's very important to note, by the way. The Torah does not say he loved Esav exclusively, and Rivka loved Esav exclusively. One gets a sense, right, that they had preferences. You know what I'm saying? And this is also a totally another different shiur. Like this parasha is so full of like showing preferential treatment one to the other, you know what I'm saying? Over one child over the other, sibling rivalry, really troubling stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it's something that we try to avoid, I think, showing preference. Okay. But it does say that she loved him and he loved and she loved Yaakov and he loved Esav. Let's read on in Rashi. Ish Sadeh. You would think Ish Sadeh, is that a positive or a negative? A man of the field.
Sounds neutral. It's just that's what you do.
Is it? He was look at the pasuk. Vayhi Esav Yaakov ishtam yoshev ohalim. Right. The simple.
It's like a foil, like comparing one versus the other.
Now, value judgment. Value judgment.
Kind of is at the image of a homeless man.
A homeless man or a yeah ishtam yoshev ohalim.
No, not that one. The ish
sadeh. Yodat Said ish sadeh. I give you my impression is that the simple textual description of Esav is more positive. He was a man. He was a doer. He was an actor. He was a man who went out and hunted. And Yaakov, simple person.
It's a job, and Yaakov learned all that.
That's right. It depends if you value Yosheva Olim clearly means learning Torah.
Wait one second. Let's just stop right here. Yosheva Olim does not clearly mean sitting and learning Torah. It means.
Didn't
leave the house. That's what it means. Now, Chazal interpreted means that he learned Torah.
If you don't,
it's just the way you said it. It clearly means it doesn't clearly mean that. Chazal say that's what it means, but it means that he sat in the house all day. He didn't go out. Esav went out, and Yaakov did not.
So if you don't add any definition to it, then it's clearly preferential to be
to
the
who?
Worker.
Right, to be the guy, to be the worker. So I'm saying I want to show you that Chazal turned it around totally. Like look what Rashi says: Ish Sadeh. Kimashma'o Adam Batel. As it implies, a person who sits and does nothing. Now, don't get me wrong, but does Ish Sadeh imply a guy who sits and does nothing?
No.
Right? What does it mean? Vitzodeh bekashto chayot vofot. And he just traps, he's sitting around. It's like those guys, you know.
Waiting for the fish to take.
Like in America, hunting is real big, and especially like in Michigan. So, like, if hunting season would come along, you know, everybody would gear up. No. Very non-Jews. But I think, you know, you hear about these guys.
We had a rabbi in Atlanta that used to go hunting? To Wisconsin and hunt buffalo.
But there's no point in hunting, really, because you can't, if you kill the animal that way, you can't eat it. You know what I'm saying? Hunting, you know what I'm saying?
So, hunt buffalo and go fishing.
Go fishing, yeah. Fishing is great. But, like, what do you do when you go hunting, mostly? Anybody know? You do?
Stick it up on their walls.
No, what do you do to hunt? You sit around and you do nothing. Right, yeah, it's like fishing, right? You sit around for hours and hours on end waiting for the animal to show up, and then you kill it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what she says. You're outside, he was anon batel. Like exactly the opposite of what you would have thought. And what about Yaakov? Ish Tam? Tam? Ain't no baki b'kol Ela. He doesn't know all that stuff. Ela, this is Tam. Kilibo kain piv. His heart and his mouth are the same. Ish Tam. Tmimut implies no duplicity. There is no outside me and inside me. Rather, What you see is what you get. I mean, for better or for worse. There's obviously good parts of that. There's obviously negative parts of that also. You don't always want to wear your, you know, your heart on your sleeve. You don't always wear your heart on your sleeve. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. And people can take advantage of you. As we will soon see, that's exactly what happens. Yaakov's development is, in some sense, learning to be less Tam. Right? You know, he spends too many years with Lavan, and he learns the hard way what happens when you're Tam. You know, people take care of you. Mi she'eno charif l'ramot karui Tam. Someone who is not sharp enough to lie is called a Tam. Good or bad? Sounds great. Sounds a very nice thing to say. Yeah, it sounds very good. But it's so interesting that Rashi explicitly develops these two themes. Esav is Yodea Tzayid Ish Sadeh. Esav is, he knows how to lie. He lies to his father about the most sacred of things. And Yaakov is an Ishtam. He doesn't know how to lie. He's a Yoshev Ohalim. You see what you see is what you get. You know, and so we see this development of these of the, exactly these two.
Except when he does lie.
Yes. When he does lie and he tricks him and he tricks him with a lentil.
Exactly. Yeah.
He doesn't lie. What does he lie? He doesn't lie.
He puts
Wait a second. You just said when he tricks him to steal the Bukhara, he didn't steal the Bukhara, he sold it.
He sold it, but right. he tricked his father.
Ah, he tricked his father. Under why did he trick his father?
A valid sale?
What do you mean?
Fair market value for the Bukhara is a bowl of lentils?
If that's what you think it's worth. Is my house really worth $130,000?
No, it's not true.
Is my house in Michigan worth $130,000 or the $210 that I paid for?
It goes according to
if you think that it's value. If you think it's only worth a bowl of lentils, then why did he, if that was the going, that's what the going rate was,
isn't it?
Why did he bother to get it if that's
what it was
worth?
It depends if the person knows, understands the fair value. Before,
that was last year's share. Listen to last year's share. It's also a question of what is it worth to you? Right? You know it's what it is. Do you want it or not? Is it worth? It might be worth a lot to me. It might be worth a lot to me. It might be worth almost nothing to you. You know what I'm saying?
So that's why they use an objective.
Like let's say for example, I had to submit my 2008 taxes, right? And I didn't yet. So you knew that I didn't yet. You knew that I wasn't gonna. Because I don't have the patience, I don't have the time. So you say to me, you know, I'll pay you 10 cents on the dollar for the right to submit your taxes to you. You know, I'll pay you now for the right to submit your taxes. Can you do that? Could you buy my tax return off of me?
Why would I?
Because it's worth, because I'm really owed the government. The government owes me like $5,000.
I didn't.
You know that I'm not going to do anything about it. Uh-huh. So is that a fair sale? Would you pay me $500 for the right to make $5,000?
There are people in the world who would.
That's right. Is that dishonest? For me, it's worth $500 because otherwise I would do nothing.
Yeah, it's dishonest because it's cheating the American government.
Why? No, not at all.
Why?
I'm owed $5,000.
He's going to get the check and endorse it over to you.
Correct. People do this all the time. All the time, sure. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Right, you know, you're owed debt. We do it all the time. That's exactly right. You're owed debt. This is not our shit either.
Factoring.
What? Right, you know what I'm saying? So you say, let's say you owe some credit card company $5,000, which I hope you don't, okay? But you're never going to pay back because you moved to Israel, they're never going to find you. So some company says, I'll give you a certain amount of money in order to have the right to collect this debt.
A founder's fee.
That's right. And they say, sure, no problem. They sign it over, and then they call you all hours of the day and night until you either change your phone number or hang up on them. You know what I'm saying? So they say, Esav and Yaakov wasn't cheating. It wasn't cheating. In fact, one could say, exactly, well, he said, I really want your Bechora. Let's move on. Okay, we see this in other cases as well. So we've had the externalities of the Edom. We had Yodeh Sayyid Ishtadeh. We had Seidah Befiv. Let's look at another one. When they marry. Okay? And Rashi uses extremely harsh language. Turn to Perek Chavav. Pasuk Lamed Dalid.
But this is really a case that if we didn't have Rashi, we just wouldn't get it. We just wouldn't get this dichotomy and the archetypes and the...
It is kind of stark in the Psukim. The Torah does, you very rarely...
Ishtadeh sounds better than Yoshev.
But you, Chazal, correct. Chazal definitely sharpen it. But you do have these Vayitim, so you have Shnei Goyim. The theme is there.
The theme is there, but Esav as the villain...
Yeah, right. Esav, right? Midrash destroys Esav. I've said this before, destroys him. Right. Correct. As we'll soon see, it destroys him, like, harshly. He represents everything bad.
Yeah.
You should just know also that it's not just Esav the personality. I've said this before. The reason Esav is everything bad is because Esav, what does he represent in history? Who does Esav represent? Who is Esav? Edom. Right? Malchut Edom is? You should know this. Rome. Christendom. Right? They are the arch enemy of the Jewish people. So anytime you have Esav, there's this like historical like backstory. Oh, it all started from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Says the pasuk, "Vayhi Esav ben arba'im shana, vayikach isha et Yehudit bat be'eri hachiti, vet bosmat bat elon hachiti." He married Yehudis, nice Jewish girl, except that she wasn't. Okay, and basmar bat elon vatihena morat ruach liyitzchak ulirivka, and they were morat ruach. They caused them anguish, heartburn. These women, why?
Married out.
They were all out. Why? Says Rashi, Morat Ruach, Ruach, Liska Libivka. Rashi says, Shayu Ovdot Avodat Elini. Okay? What's interesting? What's interesting about Pasuk Lamed Dalid? Okay, what seems superfluous? What facts seem unnecessary? I read it again. Vahi Esa ben Arbaim Shana, Vahikach Isha at Yudit Bar Be'iri Achiti, Bet Basmat Bar Lidon Achiti. All right, well, that's who they were. Chiti, right? It's interesting, obviously. Abraham didn't want to have anything to do with the Chiti, right? But Esav married in, okay? That's not the
connection. Everywhere else, you've read the son of this, the daughter of that.
Rashi wonders, based on the Midrash, I'll just tell you. Who cares how old he is?
Doesn't mean the same age as Yitzchak.
Ah, very good. Very good. Ben Arba'im Shana. Look at Rashi says. I mean, you want to know, destroy? This is destroy. Esav haya nimshal lechazir. Right?
Yeah.
You don't get any harsher than that. Shnei Amar, Yikar Semena Chazir Miyar. Who's got the English here? Translate for me.
The boar out of the wood doth ravage.
The boar out of the wood doth?
Ravage.
Ravage. Ravage. Hachazir hazeh, this pig, kishehu shochev, when he lies down, poshet tlafav. When a pig lies down, this is true. Ever see a pig lie down, right? His arms are extended. Many other animals, their arms are in when they lie down. Like calves or whatever, they lie down. Pigs, their arms go out. Why? Lomar, to say, Re'usha ani tahor. Look at me. I've got this big yarmulke on. What is my simane tahara? Right, I've got the split hooves. The pig has the split hooves. Okay? But what doesn't he have? Like this, see this theme again? I mean, if you think about it, this theme, like, whoa, it really does come out. What? Exactly the same theme. The external versus the internal. The pig is the symbol of the external kashrut, but totally trade. Okay? Kach elu gozlim vechosmim. These people steal and plunder umarim atzmam ksherim. Who are these people? Okay. They make themselves out as if they're kosher, as if they're righteous. They steal from you and then they make themselves out that they're the best favor in the world. Kol mem shana haya Esav tzad nashim mitachat yad ba'alehem. All 40 years, Esav, what'd he do?
He was a philanderer.
Right, exactly right. He trapped women from under their husband's hands. Ume'ane'otam. And he would afflict them. He would rape them. Okay. Kishaya ben mem, when he got to the age of 40, he's like, oh, he said, Ava ben mem shana nasa isha. Dad at 40 got married. I'm aniken. I'll also marry at 40. He says, I'm going to be like dad. Right? He got married at 40, and I'm going to get married at 40. One second, let's think. What did your dad do until the age of 40, until he got married, and what did you do? Okay, so him, he was with his father, and he studied in the Shem Be'ever, and he was righteous and pure. You have been God doing God only knows what, with God only knows who the past 40 years, and now you say, I'm going to be just like that. And so this is exactly the theme that Rav Fuhrer develops. You think that because you get married at the same age as your father, that has anything to do with being like your father? You know what I'm saying? You're going to make yourself out ki'ilu. I'm a righteous. I'm a tzaddik. It's interesting enough. The Torah says, but these women were morat ruach. Right? That Yitzchak did know. They knew what they were dealing with. They knew. You know what I'm saying? It's like when they saw what Esau was really like. And they had this sense of bitterness. What can you do? External versus internal. Okay. And we see this again. Let's turn now to the part about the brachot, as we all know. Okay. Pasuk Tedvav. She says, go steal the bracha. You're going to get the bracha. And you're going to, again, I think, by the way, Laura, I think that Rashi is only, and the Midrash is only picking up on these things that are so, they're so out there in the psukim. Take an ishtam and put on him the clothing of an Esav. Right? It literally is the sheep and wolf's clothing. Quite literally. No, the wolf in sheep's clothing. Isn't that there, not the other one?
Yeah, it's the wolf in sheep's
clothing. Right.
Isn't that from a fairy tale? So this is the other way around, right? That it's literally that. It's, you have, and Yaakov says it too, as we'll soon see in the Pasuk. Pasuk Tedvav. Kav Zayin Tedvav. Vatikach Rish Rivka et Bigdei Esav Benah HaGadol HaChamudot Asher Ita Babai. She took his best clothing. Which clothing is this? Anybody know which clothing that is? Right, she says? Famous Midrash. Where did Esav's prized clothing come from? What? Very good. The Midrash says the following. You're reading Rashi. Rashi says that Nimrod got this was a special clothing. The Midrash says that it really belonged first to Adam Arishon in Gan Eden. These are the clothing that God made from Adam Arishon. And somehow that big got passed down, and passed down, and passed down, and Nimrod ended up wearing them. But it was Nimrod's. Kadat or Vayabishem. God made for Adam. Well, it's unclear, made him real clothing, not clothing. Okay, these clothing came from Gan Eden. Okay? And that Esav saw that Nimrod had these clothing, and he wanted them. So what did he do?
Also.
Oh, he killed Nimrod, and then he got them. Okay? Actually, the Midrash says, so interesting, the Midrash says, That Yaakov told Esav how to get the clothing. Because the Midrash says that Esav wanted the clothing, and Yaakov said, you'll never beat him when he's wearing those clothing. It's a divine protection. It's like very Harry Potterish, isn't it? Doesn't it seem like that? You know, like the invisibility cloak or something? So he says, say to Nimrod, no, you have to fight me fair. You're so tough, fight me fair. Take off those clothes. And Nimrod, of course, being the vain, selfish person that he was, said, I can beat you without him. Takes off the clothes, and Esav kills him. Okay? So, and Esav gets the clothing. These are the clothing that Yaakov, that Esav, that Rivka puts on Yaakov. It's these clothing. Vatilbash et Yaakov b'nah hakatan. And she dresses him. It's almost strange. Isn't it very strange? How old is Yaakov now?
40.
Right. She's dressing him. Meaning what?
He doesn't want to do this.
He absolutely doesn't want to do this. She's like, put on the clothes now. You know what I mean? Like... Kind of like you do with your, like, you know. Oh, you mean she's like, I put the headdress on you, kind of like this? Alright.
You think he's 40 because of the reference?
No, he is 40. Esav is 40. At least 40, yeah. If Esav's 40, he's 40.
I mean, it's a different...
You think it happened earlier?
I think if you hold... You don't have to connect the two.
You'd have to describe. You'd have to justify why you think it chronologically is out of order. Uh-huh. There's nothing to suggest.
No
that.
Reason to think.
Yeah, no. Okay. Besides, Esav has to go hunt, so he's at least hunting age, right? Uh-huh. And he's been doing it for a while. And Yaakov and Yitzchak is blind.
Oh.
Right. So it's been a long time. So he's at least 40. Okay, so that we know for sure. And Tetzayim, the et orot kidayei haizim hilbisha al yadav. And she places these literally. She takes the things that identify Esav, the external, the hairiness, right, the feeling, the clothing, the smell. She places them on Yaakov. She literally. What is Yaakov doing here? What is Yaakov doing? Nothing. You see here, Yaakov, it's not Yaakov put on the clothing, Yaakov took the, he didn't say, she gave it to him, she clothed him, she put it on him, she put the food in his hands. And now, vayavo el avi, vayomer avi, vayomer hineni mi atabini. Right, who are you? Because obviously it sounds like Yaakov. You know what I'm saying? Who are you? Can't see. It's also interesting to note that at the end of his life, when the time came to give the brachot, Yitzchak was robbed, or he was taken away, his ability to judge. How? Externally. He lost the sense of sight. He couldn't go by what he saw. Vayomer Yaakov el aviv anochi Esav bechorecha. Asiti kasher dibarti elai. I'm Esav, your son. It's a lie. No matter how the Midrashim say it, it's a lie. He lies. I did what you asked. Kum na shiva ve'achla mitzedi ba'avor tivarechani nafshecha. Please get up and eat from my tzayid, the trapped food, so that you will bless me. Vayomer Yitzchak avino, mazeh miharta limso b'ni? How'd you get here so fast? It's pretty good. Vayomer ki hikra Hashem Elohecha lefanai. Because the Lord, your God, happened before me. Mina kash baruch hu elvi. Baruch shalom, mina baruch Hashem. Vayomer Yitzchak el Yaakov, geshana ve'amushcha b'ni, ha'ataze b'ni Esav im. Like, whoa. Why? What's wrong?
Because what he said.
What do you mean?
Hashem,
exactly. It's obvious. It's not just that the voice was different. One could imagine that the voice was different. Anybody who's fake, Dad, I'm not feeling so good today. What I'm saying, like, even if you fake that, right? It's not how that. Again, that's an external. But internally, what is this person saying? Like, if you said to Esav, "How'd you get here so fast? Well, you got here so fast. I'm a great hunter. What do you mean fast? I've done it much faster." You know, that's what Esav would say. What Esav would not say is, the Ribbono Shel Olam was with me. He just wouldn't say that. And so he says, who are you? What is going on? Come here. But again, Yitzchak is making the same mistake. What mistake is he making?
External
evaluation. Gishana v'amushcha b'ni hatazeh b'ni Esav imo. V'yigash Yaakov v'yitzchak avi v'yemushehu. V'yomer, and he says the famous words that are so, so deep, so, so eternal. Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yidei Esav. Like the voice of Yaakov and the hands of Esav. One day, maybe next year, I'll give a shiur on this. There's so many interesting, beautiful pshatim on Hakol kol Yaakov. There's historical interpretations. I believe this is a prophetic vision of the ideal Yaakov. Right? You have to be Yaakov with the kol of Yaakov and the yadayim of Esav. In order for Yaakov to survive, you have to, on the one hand, externally be as strong as Esav. On the other hand, understand that internally the meaning is Yaakov. Let's look at Rashi for a second. On Chavalich, yeah. What's that? It was. I mean, you have to project the power of strength, but also of internal the beauty and the simplicity. David is the archetype. You know, it's what we're supposed to be ideally. Yeah.
It was also not possible when Yaakov himself was saying, "Who are you?" He knew exactly who he was. He knew that it was Yaakov dressed as Esav.
But he wants to know if
Yaakov saw himself as you, as
you were saying. You could suggest that. It would be very hard to say because when Esav finally shows up, it says, Vayecherad Yitzchak Charada. What does it say? Charada Gdolad Me'od, I think he said. Charada. Yitzchak trembled, a great trembling. He was shocked. Literally, he was jarred to his core. When he finds out. And then he says, Gam Baruch Yeh. And then he said, oh, okay. It was like, everything I thought about was wrong. But it's hard to say now. I think it's a stretch to say that at this point he knows. When he looks at Rashi, he's like, Gishana va'amushicha. Chav Aleph. Amar Yitzchak b'libo. Ein derech Esav liot shem shamayim shagul b'fiv. It's not that he sounded different. He says, Rashi says, Esav doesn't talk like this. V'ze amar ki hikra Hashem elokecha. Invoking the name of God. Kol Yaakov. Shemedaber b'lashon tachanunim. Yeah, it's not just Yaakov invokes the name of God. He speaks like a mensch. Kumna, please get up. Aval Esav b'lashon knutria daber. Okay, in a language of? Translate.
Let my father arise.
What's knutria? He just spoke in the language of?
Oh, spoke impolitely.
Yakum avi. It's exactly what, when Esav comes, right? Skip to Pasuk Lamed. Okay. Vayi kasher kila Yitzchak v'erechad Yaakov. Vayi ach yatzo yatza. And me'eit v'nei Yitzchak aviv ve'esav v'chibam v'seder. Esav shows up, right? Yaakov leaves stage left. Right, and in comes Esav. Vayas kam hum atamim. Vayaved aviv v'yomel aviv. He says to his father, Yakum aviv v'yochal mitzeit b'no. Get up and eat. Ba'avor t'varachan. What?
Mitzeit b'no is also.
From his sons. Yeah. Actually, he's speaking in third person. From his sons. Let my father get up. But it's not like, please thank you. There is a gruffness to it. There's a directness. He's a man of words. Dad, I'm here. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Eat. What?
Picture a caveman.
Yeah. He's a man of action. He's not a man of words. He's a man of action. You know what I'm saying? Words are not his strong thing. Okay? So again, we have this sense of externalism versus internalism. The Kol Kol Yaakov and Yadayim Yidei Esav. So I've until now, we've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay, examples of juxtaposing Yaakov and Esav. The first one is Red, they called him Red. The second one is, right, Yodea Tzayid Ish Sadeh. He was a man of just actions, okay? And as opposed to Yaakov Ish Tam, where Yaakov is what he says he is, his heart and his mouth are the same. Tzayid Befiv, in Frumkeit, okay? Finally, his relationship to his father, how he speaks to his father, versus Yaakov. His marriage, if he thinks that you're getting married at 40, he'll be like his father. And then Rashi calls him a pig. Okay? He does. It's
probably
like,
the worst one on the list.
That's probably the worst one. You know, like, that's as bad as it gets. Okay? So those are five interesting examples of the same theme appearing over and over in the parsha. And so Rav Fuhrer, he has an essay on this, a very nice essay on this entire theme, which is basically the whole shiur is based on this, just did it out of order. And he says that in his Kibud Av Va'em, he talks about this notion of Kibud Av Va'em. He says the following, quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin. Tani Avimi Breid Rabbi Avua. Avimi says, the son of Avua says, Yesh Ma'achil La'aviv Pisyoni V'Tordo Min Ha'olam. You can feed your father caviar, right? And nonetheless, Tordo Min Ha'olam, be doing it in such a way that it'll cause you to be destroyed or lost from the world. V'yesh Matchino B'Rechayim. Or you can cause your father to grind grain in the granary, in the mill, and you'll get Olam Haba. Meaning you would think, which guy is better Kibbutz Avim? The guy that he serves his father on China. You know what I'm saying? He treats his father the highest possible thing. And which guy is bad Kibbutz Avim? That's the guy that, you know, makes his father, oh, dad, go, you know, you got to make your own flour. So the Gemara says, it's not true. It could very well be that the guy who's feeding his father the very best of whatever, that guy is losing his Olam Haba. And the one who's making his father grind the grain, he gets Olam Haba. How? He says, the Gemara Yushalmi, okay, explains, the Gemara Yushalmi extrapolates. Ma'aseh be'achad shaya ma'achil le'aviv pisyoni. I don't know pisyoni, it's some fine fancy food. There was a guy who fed his father this fancy food. Pa'am amar lo aviv me'ayim lecha kol ele. So his father says, where do you get all this? Amar lo saba ma'ichbat lecha t'chon ve'echol. He says, dad, not your problem. Just chew it and eat it. Meaning?
Not necessarily honest.
No, he's honest. But he's saying, like, old man, just eat. You know what I'm saying? It's yes, he's giving him the finest food, but it's like, just eat. Do me a favor. Don't stop hacking me. Leave me alone. Her'ehu shekashalo. In that way, he showed him that it was hard for him to take care of his father. V'shuv ma'aseh be'echad shaya tochin b'reichayim. There's another guy who was working in the granary. Mahayalo avzaken, and he had an older father. V'shalach ha'melech b'shvil aviv la'avo l'avodat ha'melech. And so the government called the father and said, you're being called up. You're being, you know, because you have work. Amar lo b'no, so his son said to him, Abba, t'chon v'ani elech tachtecha la'avodat ha'melech she'em ha'kitzvah. Abba, you may favor, you grind the grain here. I'll take your place and do the work, even though nobody knows how much work it's going to be. So therefore, he says, so you could have one guy who's feeding his father perfectly, wonderfully. He's giving him everything he needs. But at the same time, he's showing him, like, I'm doing this because I have to, and I really don't want to do it. And, you know, as soon as we possibly can, you know, if you just do a favor and, like, you know, eat up and get out of my hair, that'd be great. And the other one, where his father's, he's doing work, but he's doing work because the son went and did something more impressive for the father. So which one is better, Kibbutz Avim, the father eating caviar or the father working at the granary? And the answer, of course, is the granary. Because Kibbutz Avim isn't about the external of the mitzvah. It's about the internal of the mitzvah. Right? And the model of a Yaakov is the Kol Kol Yaakov in every area. Kol Kol Yaakov is trying to appreciate and understand that it's not just that we don't live by externals. We try not to live by externals. By the size of my house or the car, those are obvious. Right? But what about the externals of the spirituality versus the internals of the spirituality? Just say, pick any mitzvah, pick anything that you do. You know what I'm saying? We relate to the way we relate to others, the way we speak to others, the way we talk about others. And I worry about this, not only for ourselves, but for our children. You know what I'm saying? On the one hand, we want our kids to do the right thing, but we also want them to internalize it and do it for the right reason, to appreciate the internal value of it. And I think the only way to do that, obviously, is to model it, is for them to appreciate that you're not doing it for them. You're not doing it for some other reason and for people to think that you're doing it, but because it's really, truly important to you. You know what I'm saying? That's really what it's all about. But just this idea of seeing these two models of Esav and Yaakov and highlighting that, I'll end with this. The chief rabbi got bashed this week. Did you notice?
The chief rabbi. He went to speak to the
Babbage. No. He got bashed for trashing Steve Jobs. You notice that? Why? Because he said that Steve Jobs, he created the iPhone, the iThis, the iThat, and he fed into a culture of self-realization. I want, I need, I have. He wasn't really trashing Steve Jobs. He was using it as an example of the culture, so it was ridiculous, criticism. Then he had to clarify, it wasn't really blaming Steve Jobs. Give me a break, everybody knows what he meant. But what he's saying was exactly this. This is exactly a great example. What he was saying was an absolute truth. We live in a world consumed by externalism. Externalism in the possessions that you have, and externalism in your spirituality. We're very much drawn to how much people value us, and you know what I'm saying? And we have very little way of evaluating or extolling the internals. And it's something that we have to try to be aware of.
Well, that's the point, that they don't get extolled, meaning it's just between you and yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not for anyone else to praise you.
I guess the thing that I struggle with, and this is not something, there's not an answer for this, or maybe you have an answer, how do you live a life, and especially raise families to value internal in a world which is so externally driven. And we're part of it. I also want an iPhone. I do. And my kids know I want an iPhone. You know what I'm saying? And so how do you, on the one hand, be part of this world, but on the other hand, pull back and say, no, that's really not important.
I think you have by wanting it, but not having it.
I'm getting one.
There's something to be said for that. It's not the instant gratitude. Regardless of what the issue is, it's still showing your kid, even though I desire this and this is an external value, for whatever internal reasons, I'm not sacrificing something else for this. It's not worth a sacrifice.
I'm reading now, because my son is now reading To Kill a Mockingbird, so I decided to read it again. And you've all read it, To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Read it again. Read it again.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's classic.
It's classic. But I'm just reading again, and I forgot it. You know what I'm saying? I remember the story, but I forgot just how, this father, he did that. You know what I'm saying? But it's a long slog, such a long slog of doing the right thing and standing for what's right. But it's a way of being. It's not something that you can do. It's a way of living your life, and only doing by living that life is it something that your children can appreciate over time. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you can have the iPhone, but it's again, it's not the external, it's not the external of having the iPhone, but how do you relate to it? And how do you, is it part of you? Is it everything? Is it whatever? Or is it another tool that you have that you use that's very nice? And the gisha is really what's most important. And read the book. You know what I'm saying? These are issues that reading the book, I'm thinking about yet again. So, stop there.